all.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all those who are joining us in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are here together. For together we will experience God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. This is the first Sunday of Epiphany. This is the baptism of our Lord Sunday, a time when we enter into this mystery of who this baby is. We've encountered this infant at Christmas, and now we have that realization, that epiphany of who this person truly is. It is good that we are gathered together. And I also have to announce that we have a special guest preacher this Sunday. Our own Pete will be preaching. Give it a round for Pete. We saw a very beleaguered pastor needing a Sunday off of having to create a sermon, and he offered to help. And it was good because I was in training for the last 3 days, and I got to see the anxiety in the eyes of my colleagues on Saturday increase as they realized they still didn't have a sermon on Sunday. So thank you. So let us begin gathered together in the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
You stand if you are able. And if you are not able, know that the church stands for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. So let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your love, your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight.
Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John.
By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all.
We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit.
And renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
Do you give honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling, to be your daughters and sons, and empower us all with your Spirit through Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the children for children's word. And I'm going to sit with you and hear what he has to say.
Am I on? Hey. Well, I don't know if you were here when Pastor poured the water into the baptismal font, but water's pretty important, right? You know, your body's made up of mostly water, and that's why it's important to drink a lot of water and stay hydrated. And also, we use it for baptism. Do you know what baptism is? You do? Good. Well, we use this for baptism. There's a lot of different ways they do it. They bring little babies up here. You remember when we brought Charlie up here and did it. Any of you remember your own? I bet not, because I remember mine, because I wasn't sure I was baptized, so when I don't know, I was about 25 or 6, about 50 years ago, I decided I'd be baptized, and I got baptized. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Today we're going to hear about it, John baptizing Jesus, and he dumped Jesus clear down in the river. But some people just sprinkle water, right? That's how they do it. And then some people do as Jesus did and dunk him way down in the river. Well, John really didn't want to do that. He said to Jesus, "No, you ought to be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, that ain't the way it is." So that's how we learn in this baptism. And that's why we do it, so that we can receive Jesus and open our hearts to Jesus too. Come on up here to the fountain. And how would you like to baptize me and Pastor? Okay? Put the finger in the water and make a cross on our forehead. There you go. You want to do it, Claire? No. Let's give it to the pastor. He deserves it. He won't water all over you. Your turn. No? Okay. Okay, well, you got to baptize us. And that means that we've opened our hearts to Jesus. So, let's thank God for that, okay? Remember how we prayed? One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for baptism.
Thank you for baptism.
Thank you for washing our sins and making us clean.
Thank you for washing our sins and making us clean.
Help us remember that. And live in your presence.
And live in your presence.
Thank you for your son Jesus.
Thank you for your son Jesus.
Thank you for your love. We love you, God.
We love you, God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Through his death. this morning is from Isaiah 42, beginning at the first verse. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisoners those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
This morning the psalm may be found on page 5. Our cantor this morning is Rick.
We'll be singing the song this morning. I'll begin with the light print, described as one. As a congregation, please respond by singing the many print in bold.
Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord breaks the mountains like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory.
The Lord sits enthroned as a God. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
The second reading is from Acts, chapter 10. Hear now the word. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he had come up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, here we go. You're stuck with me again. Not really. Pastor really did need a little break. He prepared like 5 sermons for the Christmas season and then had a busy week this week, so I kind of felt it was time to give him a break. He's done a good job, don't you think? Well, we move our church here. Moves us ahead kind of quick. I mean, it was just the first Sunday of Christmas last Sunday. And here we are moving, 30 years ahead in Jesus' life again today. But I just couldn't let it go. I have to share a Christmas story with you. A young boy desperately wanted a bicycle for Christmas. So he asked his parents for the bike. And his parents wanted to teach him the importance of prayer. So they suggested that the boy should write a letter to Jesus and pray for a bike instead. Not pleased with the response of his parents, he immediately threw a temper tantrum, and his parents sent him to his room. Once he was in his room, he decided to take his parents' advice and write a letter to Jesus. "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year and would love a new bicycle. Can you see if I can have a new bicycle? Your friend Johnny." This went on for a while, all in vain. Then Johnny looked deep into his heart, which is what his parents wanted him to do in the first place. He knew he had been a bad boy and hoped that he would receive something simply because Jesus loved him. He then crumpled up the letter, threw it in the trash can, and went downstairs, where his mother had a nativity scene set up on the fireplace mantle. He then took the statue of Mary, wrapped it up in a blanket, and hid it under his bed. Then he wrote this letter: "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, give me a bicep." We have to admit, some people will try anything to get what they want for Christmas. But that's all behind us now. Christmas is gone, and we're going to move forward in our church year. As we work our way through the gospel accounts, we learned that there were a selected few of people who had a special knowledge of Jesus, of Jesus' identity, as both true men and true God. Angels told Mary and Joseph about Jesus before he was even born. Angels also proclaimed his birth to shepherds. The Holy Spirit revealed the special nature of Jesus to Simeon and Anna, who waited for the promised one in the temple. God used a star to guide men from the east to worship the child. These are special cases. Everyone else, for the most part, saw Jesus grow up as a normal child in the town of Nazareth. Perhaps the rabbi at the synagogue would have noticed how precocious Jesus was, but there were many children who seemed to be above average in this world. If you were to ask most people about Jesus, they might say, pleasant lad, hard worker, good head on his shoulders, ought to do well in life. But God, that's stretching it a bit, don't you think? Up until the events that we just heard in today's gospel, Jesus did the work of saving us from sin in private, quietly, without publicity. That all changed when Jesus came to John for baptism. After about 30 years, it was time for Jesus to take his work public. As he began his public ministry, he came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. He began to reveal himself and his work in the water of the Jordan River with his cousin John. I ask myself, what's taking place here? Who's doing what? In the case of this morning's lesson, we encounter multiple verbs in just the first three verses: prevented and consented. These particular verbs in verses 14 and 15 are the verbs that really jumped off the page at me. Why? Because these verbs that speak about our everyday reality as Christians. You see, John wasn't trying to prevent Jesus from being baptized because he was some sort of evil person intent on destroying God's plan of salvation. Quite the opposite. John was a very faithful man with the very best intentions. You're coming to be baptized by me? You're the Lamb of God. You're the Almighty, whose sandal I'm not worthy to even untie. I should be baptized by you. That brings up a good question, though. What if John did succeed in preventing Jesus from being baptized? What if John flat out refused to be part of Jesus' little plan? You know that old saying about the road to hell being paved with good intentions? That's exactly what the case would have been here had John been successful in his prevention. How can that be? The answer is found in Jesus' explanation to John. Let it be so, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. More verbs. Let it go. Drop it. This is how all righteousness is going to be fulfilled. Unfortunately, due to the language here, people often miss what Jesus was saying. Admit it, we don't use these words, righteousness or righteous, too often nowadays, unless we're speaking of ill will of someone, you know, referring to them as a self-righteous fill-in-the-blank. Yet Scripture uses these words all the time to refer to our forgiveness and our salvation. I want you to think about this reality in the immediate context of Christ's reply to John's well-intended yet ignorant attempt at prevention. Drop it, John. This is the plan of salvation. This is how the plan of salvation is drawn up. I know it doesn't match your version and idea of how it's supposed to be, but this is how it works. This is how all justification is going to be fulfilled. Notice, Jesus doesn't tell John that this act of baptism was to simply fulfill Jesus' own personal justification. Jesus didn't need justification. He's already perfect and holy in every way. He's Almighty God. No, this baptism of Christ is to fulfill all justification. That is, the justification of people, of us. The baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ is located within the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is about God manifesting his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. The baptism of our Lord shows us the glory of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit revealed themselves at the Jordan River as one God in three persons. But the glory revealed was not merely the Holy Trinity displaying the divine majesty, but particularly the majesty manifested in and through the Son. The voice from heaven and the form of the dove pointed to Jesus as the Anointed One, the Christ. He was anointed by the Spirit at the Jordan for a purpose. Purpose to go to the cross in order to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. His suffering, death, and resurrection were his destiny and work. Therefore, God, the Holy Trinity, highlighted this fact. It is as if he said, "Here is the one. This is my Son, set aside for the purpose of redemption. He is well-pleasing to me, and not only because he is holy and perfect, because he is willing. He has willingly taken upon himself the task of winning salvation for all men. It was necessary for Christ to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. He had no need to be baptized, since he had no sins. John the Baptist agreed that he, not Christ, needed baptism, but Christ submitted to baptism to show that he was taking the place of all sinners. When we confessed our sins last week, we said instead of putting others before ourselves and passing by those in need, we looked the other way. Sometimes when I say these words, I think I'm not nearly as sorry as I should be. And my repentance is not nearly as sincere as it should be either. Even when we confess our sins, our old sinful nature is still beating away at us. What comfort we can have today as we think of Jesus piled high with all our sins there in the Jordan, and his repentance for our sins is perfect. When he gives us his righteousness, he gives us the righteousness of his perfect repentance for our sin. Christ has fulfilled all righteousness for us. He removed from us our righteousness. He has given us new birth and adoption in baptism as his sons, well-pleasing in his sight. His voice has also spoken approvingly from heaven over us when we were washed by him. Now and always, he calls us his beloved sons, in whom he is well pleased. Exactly as the voice called Christ at the Jordan. Concerning these words, St. Matthew gives us a slightly different version than the other evangelist. Matthew writes, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." Matthew gives the true sense of the words. He was not telling Christ as if he needed to know. As with so many other things, God did it for us. So Matthew gives us the true sense in which the Father is speaking to us about the Son. He tells us, "This is the one, my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him." It's as if the Father is directing our eyes to stop looking at ourselves and look instead at Christ. This is what God chooses when he decides what his glory will be. Not the blazing of light or the exercise of power on the conquering of enemies. No, he has chosen his son in human flesh. He has chosen the man who is holy God, yet who humbles himself to the lowest place. He goes down into Jordan to declare that he has come for sinners, for you and me. He has made himself the expendable son, the Christ, the person chosen to be sacrificed in the most painful and difficult way possible. That is what God chooses for his glory, because in his love, or in this love, is accomplished for men. In the dripping man in the Jordan, God shows us that he is a gracious God. Jesus stands with us in the water. In this way, his righteousness is fulfilled. It is as Martin Luther has us pray in the order of baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be blessed, a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Folks, God still speaks this truth to us in this very day. That's why we focus on this particular lesson at the beginning of every year. Look around you. The world we live in still seeks to prevent God's free gift of justification. As easy as this is to recognize in the blatant acts of sinful and evil prevention that happens all around us all too often, you and I both know that many a caring, faithful person also sinfully errs and prevents God from working because of their good, yet ignorant and sinful intentions. Believe me, you don't have to look too hard to find prevention of Christ's absolutely free gift of justification in places such as baptism and Holy Communion. Truth be told, we don't have to look too hard to find well-intentioned yet sinful prevention staring back at us from the mirror all the time in our own daily lives. You and I both know, and we routinely prevent God from working in our lives and in the lives of those close to us, because God's way and God's word has a way of are making life uncomfortable for us. Rather than let go and let God work for the good of his people, we try to steer things our way. We try to do our own thing, albeit the best intentions. In solidarity, Jesus is in the water, is one of us. He suffers with us. He died for us. He begins healing the corruption that limits us. He begins healing the corruption that hides the truth from us. He shows us that he's the sinner's friend and savior. In his baptism, he publicly continues the work that makes us his own so that we may live with him forever. Amen.
Amen.
All together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Calling God, you speak with power to your church. Open our hearts and minds to the new things you are declaring. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, lay leaders, and teachers of the faith. Equip the baptized for your reconciling and redeeming work. Merciful God, receive our prayers. Renewing God, you provide the waters of the earth, and in Jesus' baptism, you reveal the waters of life. Cleanse and protect oceans, rivers, and watersheds. Bring relief to parched lands and to communities without access to safe water. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Righteous God, you never weary of establishing justice. increase cooperation and constructive dialogue between nations, guide local, national, and international authorities to govern with equity, vision, and integrity. We pray for those in military service, for peacemakers, and for our enemies. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Abiding God, your mercy is steadfast. Give sanctuary to people who flee from oppression, war, poverty, and famine. Sustain healthcare workers, caregivers, first responders, counselors, and all who help and heal. Comfort those who are grieving or experiencing crisis, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Kim, Kelly, Dave, Joe, Patty, Deb, Teresa, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Barry, family of Pastor Jane, family of Randy Harmon, family of Dave Richcreek, family of Frank Hill, and victims of the war in Ukraine. Receive our prayer. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Blessing God, in Christ you gather the beloved community. Kindle the gifts of your Spirit in your spirit, in your people. Accompany the new baptized, those recently ordained, and any beginning a new ministry. Inspire synodical leaders and congregational council to serve with imagination and wisdom. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Promising God, your faithfulness endures throughout all generations. We give thanks for those who have died in Christ, trusting that we will be united with them and all the saints in Christ's resurrection life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you. May we stand as we prepare for the Lord's table.
Lift up your
we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling amongst us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth, his death and resurrection, and we look for hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All are welcome to this table. In a moment, the usher will come and ask you to form a single line. We ask that you come forward with your arms crossed, arms open, receive the element in your hand. If you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms folded. But all are invited to this space, and all are welcome.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you.
Amen.
Now I'd like to take a moment for announcements for the good of the order. And we'll let Ari grab the mic. And Ari has the microphone, and we have Rhonda down here.
I would like to have the opportunity to United Universal Fellowship is offering a free screening of the film Just Mercy for the public in honor of MLK Day, coming right up. This event is at the VAC, that's down there on Nye Beach, next Saturday at 5:30. We are inviting congregations from the other area churches, but we don't have current email addresses for atonement, and then I sent him our email address. Rand Bishop is kind of organizing this, and it's something that will be really memorable, Martin Luther King. And then I would also like to ask for a few more volunteers to become greeters. We have an outreach meeting monthly, and that is this week, Thursday at 1:00. And a few more people would allow us to have like just 1 hour a month is really all that it would take. And you would sit out front and greet people and just welcome people into church on Sunday. That's about all we do right now. Let me know, get a hold of me if you'd like to become a greeter. Thank you very much.
Are there any more?
I didn't know about Just Mercy, but I'm delighted to know that that's going to happen on Saturday. It's about Brian Stevenson, who's a wonderful attorney who started the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama, and the Museum of Peace and Justice and the Lynching Museum. So I'm sure it's a powerful movie. The book is fantastic. I'd also like to point out that in your Words of the Week, it says that next Sunday there is a youth concert here at 2:00. That will include the Trio Musicorum Medicorum, who has appeared before here several times, so we can welcome them back. And 2 weeks from today, Alistair Cook will be here to do some special violin music during the service. So we're glad to know that he's returning in these post-COVID days.
Do you have any more?
I have one. The nominating committee is going to be meeting after the service today. So if any of you are interested on maybe being on church council or attending the Synod Assembly or that kind of thing, why, let us know so we can get your name on there. If you don't let us know, we'll probably just put your name on and give you a call. So defend yourself. There's myself and Randy and Tammy and John Baker. So see one of us if you're interested in getting your name on the ballot for the annual meeting. Thanks.
Are there any more? I'd just like to make my own little announcement that we meet 9 a.m. on Sunday morning for adult forum. And currently we're collecting questions. And as we wrap up our discussion with the Bible, the Gospels, we are going to look at those questions. So you have a question you've always wanted to ask, you never know how to ask it, these are the opportunities to come, write your question, and explore those questions together. And with that, let us now prepare our hearts for the benediction. The God who faithfully brings forth justice and breaks the oppressor's rod, lesson and strength and uphold you today and always. Go in peace, follow the way of Jesus.
Thanks be to God.